thought it was on. Don't get offended, just get right. Hey, don't get offended about it, just get right. Just get right. You can tell where a man or a woman is when the music gets up like that. You can tell where a man or a woman is when the book's opened up. It won't take long. Don't get offended. Just get right. Amen. Hey, don't get offended. Don't walk out. Just get right. Get lined up in the Holy Ghost. Let God move in your life. 2 Kings this morning, chapter number 20. If you found your place, I ask you to stand. 2 Kings chapter number 20 this morning is what God's laid on my heart. Last night I went in. My daughter was gone. The storms had done passed. You got me on, Brother Dylan? The storms had done pass, and she left, and Brandy and Ryder was asleep on the couch, and I went into my daughter's room at her makeup mirror. I cut on that makeup mirror where I could see a little better. That thing, I got 3 or 4 different bulbs that'll glow different colors, and I put it on the color that I could see real good by. Moved all the makeup out of the way, took my old King James Bible and laid it down there, and just got into studying what God had laid on my heart. He said, "Preacher, did you wait to Saturday night to get the message?" Oh, I done had about 10 of them leading up to that point. But it wasn't the one he wanted me to bring. So I got in there and I got set down, Brother Tony, at that makeup mirror. And I got looking at that thing and how bright it was. And that thing reminded me of the Word of God. When you get in the Word of God, it's like a bright light. It's a lamp under my feet this morning. I want you to know, it's a lamp under my feet. It's a light under my feet and a lamp under my path. That's what it does in my life. 2 Kings chapter number 20 this morning. I want to say to you this morning, get your house in order. Get your house in order. I don't care who. I'm telling you this morning, God has stirred me with this. Get your house in order, or get your heart in order with God. Because the day's coming, you're going to leave this world, and I want you to know it's coming quicker than you think. You say, "Preacher, I've got all the time in the world." I say to you this morning, you don't know how much time you got. I don't care if you're 20 or if you're 80. You don't know how much time you got, but you must get your house in order. 2 Kings chapter number 20. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order." That means get right. Get things in order. Get things lined up. "For thou shalt die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer." Woo! Glory, hallelujah! He's heard your prayer. Hey, he heard our prayer yesterday. Amen? Oh no, preacher, the weatherman got it wrong. Don't you believe that for a skinny minute. Don't you believe that. The moment you do, you'll get blown away. Not only physically, but spiritually. The moment you think God's hand didn't move that storm is the moment you get blown away. Oh, he heard our prayer. Oh, glory. "I have heard that prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs," and they took and laid it on the bowl, and he recovered. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. Calm me down in the name of Jesus. Lord God, right now I feel like I could run a marathon. Lord God, right now I feel like I could run laps around this place. Lord God, right now I feel like that the Holy Ghost is just moving in this place. I know it's moving in my heart. I know it's moving in my mind. I know it's moving. He's moving in my soul and in my spirit. It's got nothing to do with emotions. It's all to do with Jesus Christ. Lord God, you said that you would send a comforter. You said that you would send a healer. You said that you would send somebody to walk every mile with us. And that's what the Holy Ghost is doing this morning. He's walking up and down the pews. He's walking up and down the hearts. He's walking down the aisle this morning. He's seeking whoever he may will. He's asking them if their life is in order. He's asking them, do they need a touch? He's asking them, are they sick and tired of being sick and tired? The Holy Ghost is asking them, do they need a fresh start? Do they need a redo? Do they need more time? Do they need 15 more years? Or do they need proof? Or do they need the hand of God on their life? Lord God, we've come in this morning to hear a word from heaven. Lord, they've not come to hear Brother BJ, hey, but they've come to hear you. Father, I'm just your man delivering your word that you've gave me. I pray this morning, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost get a hold of somebody real good. Hey, get them a good case of I just can't help it. Hey, get into this old-timey altar and they do business with an old-timey God. Oh God, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning that the gates of hell, hey, they will come against the church, hey, but they will not prevail. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your book. I thank you for your people. And I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. I pray for the next few moments you guard my throne. You guard my Father. Lord God, you let me not say nothing that would offend, but everything that would draw. Oh God, I pray this morning that you do it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that you watch over your people and you do it according to your word. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. And I ask it, and I pray it, and I beg it in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach for a few moments and I won't keep you long. Oh, get your house in order. Get things lined up with the Word of God. Get things lined up with God. You say, preacher, how did you know I was out of line this morning? I want to say to you, I didn't know you was out of line, but the Holy Ghost does. This morning the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah, the king here in the Bible, and he told him to get his house in order. How did Hezekiah react to the order that was given? What did Hezekiah do? He was laying there about to die. He didn't have long to live. His life was before his eyes. And as he laid on that bed, you say, preacher, what did he do? I say to you, number one, he responded to God. God told Isaiah, said, you go tell him that he's about to die. It won't be long and his life will be from him. And if you'll look with me in verse number two, he responded to God. You said, how did he respond? Did he get on a pity party? Did he get down and out? Did he have doom and gloom? Did he turn to the world? No, my friend, he didn't turn to the world, but he turned to the wall. He turned to what only God could do. He turned to God Almighty. Hey, can I say to you this morning as your pastor, I'm not as the world. I'm as a man of God this morning preaching thus saith the Word of God. And I want you to know if your life is out of order and it's out of line, you need to get lined up with the Word of God by responding to God. He said, then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. He said, preacher, what did he do? He responded to God. He turned his face to the wall. He turned over away from the prophet and he looked to the wall. He looked to what was before him. He looked to what stood before him. And here's what he did. He didn't only turn his face by repenting. Friends, this morning we need to return. If your life's out of order and it's in shackles and chains, this morning you can turn to God. You can turn around. You don't have to go the same way. You don't have to go that way. You can turn around this morning. He said that he turned his face and he prayed to God. You say, preacher, what did he pray? Or what did he lift up? I believe this man of God may have prayed 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. If you look, read throughout your Bibles, he would have known what 2 Chronicles 7:14 was in the parchment. He would have known what it was in the book. That it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You know what King Hezekiah had to do? He was king. He was above everybody. There was nobody over him but God Almighty. But he got to the place where he had to humble himself. You know what's wrong in the world we live in? People won't humble themselves. They won't get under the mighty hand of God, that they might be healed, that they might be saved, that they might be delivered, that they might be set free. He said this. He said he turned to the wall and he prayed. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. You know what Hezekiah did, Brother Tony, when he was laying on that bed? He didn't call for no preacher. He called on God. Can I get an amen? He called on God from heaven and he said, Lord God, I need you. And you know what God did? God answered. This morning, if a child of God will get in need, God will answer that need in your life. I see that he turned his face and he prayed to the Lord, but also not only he prayed to the Lord, but he turned to God because he had nobody else to turn to. Look what he said here. Then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, he had nobody else to turn to. This morning, I'm talking to somebody that you ain't got nobody else to turn to but God. Your life is in a wreck. Your life is in a wreck. Your life is in a wreck. You could get in a car, run down this road, run it into a pine tree, and you couldn't get no worse of a wreck than your life is in right now. You could run off the side of the road down here in the Buddy Hatchie, and you wouldn't be in no more of a mess than you are sitting here right now. He said, "Preacher, what do I do?" You've got to get to a place where you respond and you understand the mess that you're in. And you turn to God. You don't turn to the world. You don't turn to your friends. You don't turn to your family. They can't help you. Who can help you? God. Jesus. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that can help you. He responded to God. He responded to God. But let me show you in verse number 3. Man, I shouldn't have gotten in front of that makeup mirror. Amen. I was going to just preach this. Love lifted me. Love. But boy, it's a whole lot deeper than just love lifted me. Listen, let me listen to me. Hezekiah was not a lost man. Hello? Hezekiah wasn't a lost man, but he found himself in a mess as a man. This morning I'm talking to men, women, boys, and girls in this place. You're not lost. You're just in a mess. You don't know where to turn. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You know what he did? He responded to God. He responded to him, Brother Les. But then he reminded God. Listen to me. It's one thing to respond to him, but it's something else to remind him. You know what King Hezekiah said there in verse number 3? He said, "I beseech thee," or "I beg you." He's talking about a king humbling himself before the mighty hand of God. He got down on his knees. He got down in that bed right where he was at. Man, not got down on his physical knees, but he got down on his spiritual knees. I've seen a lot of people get down on their physical knees and it not do a bit of good. But I've never seen a man, woman, boy, or girl get down on their spiritual knees and God not answer. He said, "I beseech thee," or "I beg thee." He reminded God. He said, "Oh Lord, remember." He said, "I want to remind you of something." He said, "God, I know that what you said, that I need to get my house in order, that the end's near. But I want to remind you of something, God. I want to remind you." You say, "What kind of man is that?" That's a man that knows he's serving a living God. Amen. He said, "Not only did I respond to God, but I reminded God of some things that he's done said about me." See, the world will tell you you're no good, and you're of no value, you're useless, you're worthless. God tells you you're created in His image. God tells you you're loved. God says you're needed. God said He wants you. He desires you. He wants fellowship with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to call on Him. The world says don't worry about God, but I'm telling you right now, don't you worry about the world. You worry about God. He says, "I beseech thee," or "I beg thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee. Remember my walk. God, I want you to remember how I've walked these years. All these years of my life, I've walked with you. I've not stumbled, I've not strayed, but I've stuck to the course." He said, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth." He said, "Everything I've done is try to be in truth. I've not done one thing to lie about. I've tried to do everything in truth. And what a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." He said, "I've done what's good in your sight. I've done what you've asked me to do." Friends, this morning, there's some of you, you need to remind God. You need to remind God. You need to remind yourself that you are a child of the King. And he may have been king on this side, but his daddy was a king on the other side. Oh! My daddy wasn't no king over here, amen. But I got a king. My daddy's a king over there, amen. He said he reminded his daddy. And here's what he said when he reminded him. He said, "Do you remember how I've walked? Do you remember what you said about me? Do you remember the promises that you made me? Do you remember that I'm the king that did everything according to what you've asked me to do?" He said, "Preacher, you act like you're excited this morning. I'm excited to tell you that you can get your life in order this morning. You can be in a mess. You can be in a turmoil. You can be down. You can be out. You can be in a valley. And in 30 seconds, you can leave this place on the mountaintop." You say, "Preacher, you don't know that." Oh, yes, I do. I'll never forget August 27, 2007. You say, "Oh, here he goes again." But I'll tell you how quick God will change a man. I'll never forget walking in. I'm walking into that place lost, going to hell. And when I walked out saved, never touched meth again. 17 years later, you say, "Well, you just overcome it." I didn't overcome nothing. I got under the blood of Jesus. But you're scared to get under it because you know he's going to change it. He's going to make your life better. He's going to put it back together. It's why you won't get under it. It's why you're bellyaching, getting all around, but you won't get under it. Look what he said, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah, what did he do? He wept sore. He wept till he got sore. Have you ever cried till you got sore? Answer me, somebody. You ever cried till you just got so sore? Talk to me, somebody. Brother Brent, you ever cried over something so much you got sore? Your eyes got sore? Brother Jacob, you? You ever cried over your wife so much that your eyes got sore, your belly got sore, your back got sore? Man, you prayed over your kids. You prayed over your home. You prayed God would do something. You said, "Preacher, I ain't never prayed like that." Well, you ain't never been in need. You ain't never been in need. Well, you need a God in heaven to answer answer your prayer. You ain't never been there if you ain't never prayed like that. Well, you're down on your face and you say, God, I gotta have you now. I can't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. I gotta have you today. I gotta have you right now. I can't wait till tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. You say, preacher, I ain't never been there. Well, you ain't never had a need. You may have had a want. You may have had some fleshly desire that you wished he'd give you, but you ain't never been in a place where you had a need. Well, God, if you don't answer, I'm done. Ball game, over with. If you don't answer, I'm done. He said, preacher, that's old timey. Thank God for old timey. Old timey, he answers old timey, amen. You be careful with this new stuff. You be careful with this new stuff. He said he wept sore. He said, preacher, why did he remind him of that? Turn with me back just a minute. 2 Kings chapter number 18 is why he reminded him of that. He reminded him of that because of 2 Kings chapter number 18. He said that he wanted God to bless him. He started begging. He beseeched him. He reminded him of his walk and reminded him of how he wept and what he wanted God to do. But look in 2 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 3. Man, I'm talking to somebody this morning and you know I'm talking to you. You know he put me in front of that makeup mirror. You know he changed my message this morning because your heart or your house is out of order and you need to get lined up. You know it. You know it. And you say, oh God, I wish I wasn't in here. You know it. Here's what he said. He said he responded to God, but he reminded God. 2 Kings 18 and verse number 3, talking about Hezekiah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It's what God said about Hezekiah, Brother Kevin. Preacher didn't say that. Preacher didn't say that. I'm an ordained man. You're an ordained man. Brother Kevin, we're supposed to do what's right, but that don't mean we do. That don't mean we do. I wonder if this morning God could say, Kevin McDaniel does what's right. God said that about him. Not some man. Not some accolade I can give you. Not a pat on the back that I can give you. But God said that about you, Brother Garrett. Not your preacher. But God said that about you. God said that. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He said, preacher, I do it right when people's looking. What good is that? What good's that? Preacher, I do right to my family. I do right to those that love me. But those that don't love me, I could care less. What good is that? Even though the Bible says you ain't done no good. He said, love those that persecute you. Love those. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places. You know what he did? Them suckers wanted to get too high for their own good. You know what he did? He removed them. He said, you'll sit down. Talk to me, somebody, this morning. This king, when he stepped up, Brother Harold, he did what was right according to God. Everybody in this room, they're going to come today, you're going to give an account of what God's done in your life and what you've done for the Lord. He removed his high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Huh? What a king that is. You telling me this brazen serpent that Moses made, you broke it into pieces? What kind of king are you as a king to serve God? Why? For unto those days the children of Israel burned incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. What did they do? They started worshiping something besides God. Anything in your life that you worship that's not God, you better quit worshiping it. You better quit idolizing it. You said, preacher, I love my kids and I put them above everything. You better quit. Preacher, I love them more. You better quit. It's good to love your kids. It's great to love your kids. It's good to love your family. It's great to love you. But don't you put them before God. He didn't give you them to worship them. He gave you them to raise them. And he called it. And he trusted in the, it's what Hezekiah did. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. He said, they want another king like him. Nor any more before him. What did he remind God of, Brother Brent? What he had done. Lord, what I've done has been for you and nobody else. Can I say to you this morning, he responded to God. Verse number 3, he reminded God. But let me show you something else in verse number 4-5, if you would. He was able to reach God. Now that's the key. There's a lot of folks respond when they know their house ain't in order. They know their life's in shackles and they know they've got a mess. They'll respond and they'll remind God of how good they've been and how they've tried to serve the Lord. But here's the thing. Do you know how to get a hold of God? Ooh. Can you reach him? Daddies, if your children needed a daddy to reach God, would you have to call me to reach God for them? Listen to me. Listen to me real good. This is on my heart heavy this morning. Get your house in order. Get your heart in order. Make sure you're able to get a hold of God. Make sure when you call on His name, you don't call on His name like a little whoop pup. But when you call on His name, you call on His name with power and authority. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus. He responded to God when God said, get your house in order. He reminded God, but he was able to reach God. Somebody just got offended in this place. Because you know I'm telling you the truth. There's so much between you and God right now that you can't even get a hold of God. There's so much between you and God right now that you can't even get a hold of Him. If you had to call Him, it'd be a collect call because you're that so far away. You'd have to change your plan on your phone because it'd be an international call. It'd be across the water, across the seas. It's been so long since you took... I come with a heaviness this morning. And I come to tell you, make sure you can reach God. Look what he said in verse number 5. The Lord told Isaiah, he said, turn again. He said, you go tell that man of God something. Tony Woodham, laying over at Amory, Mississippi, fighting for your life. Almost dead. God said, go tell him he's going to live. He's not going to die. Go tell him he's going to live. He's not going to die. Brother Barry, Sister Tanya, go tell Brother Charles over at Tupelo. He ain't going to die, but he's going to live. Go tell him out over there. He's going to live. He ain't going to die. The Lord told him here, he said, in verse number 1, here's what he said. He said, and he turned his face. He said, thou shalt die and not live. That's what the Lord told him. But when he got to praying, God said, you go tell him he ain't going to die. I'm going to give him a little bit more time. He said, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. Read it with me. I have heard thy prayer. Listen, he didn't hear the preacher's prayer. He didn't hear your mama's prayer. There comes a time you're going to have to pray on your own. There's going to be a time you just going to have to get at it. I'm talking about, he said, I don't know how to pray. That's because you ain't praying. You just going to have to get at it. I'll never forget me and Brandy Davis. She wrote me a love letter. I didn't know how to write one back. What'd you do? I copycatted hers. I changed my name for her name. But it worked. Why? Because I put forth a little effort. Look what he says. He says, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy behold. That means stop, look, listen, pay attention real good. He said, because that, I'm going to heal you. Brother Lee, because that, he's going to heal you. Claim it in Jesus' name right now. Because that, he's going to heal you. Man, somebody need to come alive up in here. If your house ain't broken down and your heart's good, you got something to praise about. He said, I have heard thy prayers. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I see he's able to reach God. He said, I've heard thy prayers, I've seen thy tears, and I will heal thee. And thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Let me say this to you. When you respond to God and you remind him and you're able to reach him, you're going to receive something that's going to blow your mind. When was the last time God blowed your mind with something? Hezekiah knew he got a hold of God. He knew it. He knew he responded the way he's supposed to respond. He reminded him of what he was supposed to remind him of. He was able to reach him, get a hold of him. To get a hold of him. And then he received something. Can I say to you, every time you get a hold of God, you're going to receive something. It's either yes or no, whichever one. Whatever he chooses. But you're going to receive something. And can I say to you, in the world we live in, no is still an answer. You may not like it, but no is still an answer. He received from God. I say that prayer that he prayed, it was a specific prayer. He said, I've heard your prayer. I say it's a special prayer. He prayed that God would heal him and deliver him and give him more time. I say it's a sincere prayer. He wept. He, look what he received from God in verse number 6. He said, and I will add. Can anybody say God's added to you since you got calling on his name? He's added to you. He said, I'll add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Can I say to you that he received more days? He received 15 years. Me and my mama, we talk about death all the time. You take a young man in here right now in his 20s, 15 years won't do him. You take a young man in here right now, 15 years, he ain't impressed with 15 more years. Won't put him but 35 if he's 20. 15 years ain't impressing him. He wants 100 more. But listen to me. Please listen to me. You take somebody here in their 70s. Huh? You even take somebody here in their 60s. You take somebody here like me at 45. Give me 15 more. I'll take it. Guarantee me. Am I talking to anybody? Am I talking? If you say, preacher, that ain't nothing. Well, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about when God says, I'll give you 15 more. I'm going to give you 15 more. And when the Lord says it, you can bet on it. Somebody in here, they'd jump up and down 15 more years. You take somebody 90, they'd have a heyday 15 more years. You take somebody 100, they'll take 15 more. Depends where you're at in your life is what you'll take. Young kids may not get this, but the older ones know what I'm talking about when you need to get your house in order. You need to get your heart in order. You need to respond to God. You need to remind Him. You need to be able to reach Him and not have to call on your preacher to get a hold of Him for you. So you can receive of God. What He received, the Bible says that He received a complete healing. He had boils. And He took the boils and He did away with it. He said, but I need a sign. Here's your sign. He said, I need a sign. And Isaiah said, what you want? You have not because you ask not. You said, God don't give signs. Oh, yeah, He does. He gives plenty of signs. It's just if you see it or not. It's kind of like when I made that state trooper the other day. I seen the sign. I just didn't obey it. Somebody know what I'm talking about right now. But Chris Rawls says, keep on doing that, buddy. You know what I'm talking about. He said, what you want me to do? There's some of you in here, I just almost say my heart's so heavy on it this morning that you need your house in order right now. You ain't got 15 more years. You need it today. You need God to do it today. You need a healing today. You need to claim it today. Remind God. Get it today. Get it today. And he said, I need some proof. He said, what you want? He said, I'll take the sundial. He said, God said He'd take the sundial and He'll either make it go forward 10 degrees, He'll bring it back 10. What you want? And you know what Hezekiah said, same thing me and you say right now. Said, going forward's easy. Anybody can do that. They can make the shadow, because the shadow always goes forwards. The sun's shadow always goes, the S-U-N, shadow always goes forward. Always goes forward. It overshadows. It overshadows. You know what he said? He said, anybody can do that. He said, I want it to go backwards 10. You know what God said? I'll do it. I'll do it. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you release God's hand. But when you hold your hands tight and you said, it's mine, nobody, no sir, it's my way or the highway, God said, you have it your way. It's my way or the highway, preacher. He'll say, well, have it your way. You know what he'll do even to a saved person? He'll draw that hedge back and he'll say, take it your way for a little while. Then you'll find yourself on your knees saying, God, please get back on me. Get back on me. And it said he moved that dial back 10 degrees. To show Hezekiah that you have reached God. This morning I'm talking to somebody right now. I guarantee you that you could tell me, preacher, I need God to move on my life right now. If you're lost, you need to be saved. But I want to talk to my saved folk for just a minute. It's hard to be a witness when your life's in a mess. It's hard to witness when you worry all the time. It's hard to witness when you don't even trust God yourself. You say, I trust Him, preacher. Get in this altar and show Him, man. When I sat before that mirror yesterday, He was smacking me with it, boy. This is Saturday night. I'm supposed to be out with my family having a heyday, loving it up. And you know what the Spirit did, Brother Austin? He grabbed me and he pushed me in my daughter's room. Pushed me away. I said, I'll go to my office. It won't take as long. I got everything I need out there. He said, oh, no, what you need's in here. Get in here. And he took me in front of that mirror where that light was so bright that I could see so clear. This morning, if your house is not in order, let me tell you something. Respond to God this morning. He's gave you a word. You say, well, that word for so-and-so. No, no, no. I found this out to be true. When you think of, when somebody pops in your head, it's really you. And you may have an alt with that person. Have you ever had somebody's mind just come up like that in your mind? Maybe because you got an alt with them. You get it right. You respond to God. You remind God of what His goodness is. And what He said about you. You get a hold to reach God. Shake the gates of heaven. And this morning, receive what God has for you. If I'm talking to you this morning, we just have a time of invitation. And I climb in this altar and I say, God, you know what I need. You know what I need. Won't you please touch my heart? You say, preacher, I don't want to go to an altar. Our altar is Jesus. You can do it right where you're sitting. But I have found out in my own life, if I'll ever step out and come to an old-timey altar and do business with an old-timey God, He ain't never let me down yet, Brother Eric. He ain't in the let-down business. He's in the pick-you-up business. He's in the pick-you-up business. Confess you this morning. Come to this altar. So, preacher, I got plenty of time. Today could be your day. You could die before we get home. You could die before we get out of this building. I'd a lot rather die blessed than die burdened. Father, I love you. I want to thank you right now. I want to ask you, first of all, to forgive me if I said anything harsh or anything that would harm your people. But I want to thank you for the draw of the Holy Ghost. And whoever needs to be drawn on right now, fix it. Do the work. If you do the work gets done. Lord, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you do, and that's all that matters. If I knew who it was, I'd go drag them out of their pew. Lord, if I could save them, I'd go save every one of them right where they sit. But I can't drag them, and I can't save them. All that comes from the move of the Holy Ghost. Lord, this morning, you just do your work, and we'll be pleased with it. For that daddy sitting there that's beat down, don't know what to do or where to turn, let him turn to you. For that mama that's sick and tired and about to go crazy, let her turn to you. For that kid that don't understand, let him turn to you. For that deacon in here that might be going, let him turn to you. For those in the choir that don't, let them turn to you. For those that stand behind the pulpit, including myself, let us turn to you. Those in the pew, let us turn to you, that we may get our house in order. Father, I ask it no other name but the name of Jesus. Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say, amen. I ask you to stand.